Hey everyone, welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, here with a transformational coach. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there, but I also know that there's a lot of coaches that maybe use an approach that you may not connect with. Maybe they're not for you. When I met this woman that I will introduce shortly, I was like, she gets it. Here's a little bit of her story. So she wrote a book called The Menopause Millionaire, Keys to Prosperity and Meaning in the Second Half of Your Life. So a book as bold and brilliant as she is, and trust me, her story is not just powerful, it is incredibly inspiring because, you guys, this is crazy. In 1 year, 365 days, she faced bankruptcy, a divorce, the loss of her home. She had to face the unthinkable and the most heartbreakable thing. She lost her eldest daughter to suicide. And just when she found her footing again, her house was destroyed in a fire. You know, most people would not have like survived that. She did not crumble though. You know, she rose and she's here. She doesn't just teach resilience. She obviously completely embodies it. So she's writing her next book right now on how to re rise, rebuild, and reclaim your light. And she's here today to talk about all those things. Before I introduce Miss Carol Hodges, I just wanted to say thank you to Spreaker and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our audience, thank you so much for showing up, for being a fan, for believing in us, for listening to our show, and for helping us grow. And to do that, please do not forget to like and subscribe. Carol, it is so nice to have you here.
Oh, wonderful to be here.
Man, I heard your story, and I know we just scratched the surface of it when we had our first conversation, but it was so inspiring that you're sitting here, like as a transformational coach, helping women in their midlife, like really connect with themselves and transform into who they need to be. Was that a byproduct of your experiences, or was that always kind of who you were?
I will tell you that what I realized is that we all have challenges. And when I wrote my book, I had many years before had the challenge of the bankruptcy, divorce, and loss of my daughter in 1 year. I at the time, I was just getting through it. And then for a long time, I didn't talk about it. And there may be people who don't talk about things because I went to a wonderful event with the Landmark Forum, and three people recommended I go. I always look at this when it's three, and they did not know each other. And I thought, there must be something there that I need to learn. So I went. One of their core teachings is that you are creating your life with what it is you're saying. And they have a teaching that's getting rid of the rackets, which is your emotion on everything. Just say the facts of what happened. And at that, it took me until the third day when I stood up and talked about the facts of what had happened to me. For the rest of the afternoon, people were coming up and saying, "I'm so sorry." I paid attention. I was rebuilding my life, and what I didn't need was to go around and be defined by really catastrophes that had happened to me. I did not want to be defined by that. So for years, I didn't talk about it. I took a new job 2 weeks after my daughter's funeral, and no one at that location knew what my story was. I did not talk about it.
Wow.
As a result, I was able to start creating a new life. Just the necessities of life. And I put it away for a while. I must say, though, it did impact me because I didn't really, even though I was not telling anyone about it, and going ahead, living my life. It was about 2 years after my daughter's death that one day I walked outside. I looked up at the sky and I thought, that's amazing. The sky is blue and there's clouds in the sky. And I haven't noticed for the last 2 years. So
Wow.
something was missing. And I must say, and for anybody going through grief, yes, it's a real thing and sits with you. You don't need to dive into it, but yes, it's sometimes you just have to go through it in your own way.
Absolutely. I can't imagine. I've lost family members, I've lost pets, and I know what grief feels like on a deep level, but not on that level, like losing a child. And there's so much interesting things there, because it was like you had this desire to hide everything, and maybe that was your way of survival, like not wanting to be defined. I get that. I wouldn't want people to feel sorry for me. I would want to feel supported, but it probably took a while for you even to process what happened, because so many things kind of happened all at once or on the same time. So I can't imagine what that must have been like.
I had a group of people who supported me at that time that I will forever love and appreciate because they were primarily members of my community and in my church. They had meetings, and whenever I was with them, I call this my pass the Kleenex time. I didn't need to explain anything to them. They knew what had been going on in my life. And we didn't need a lot of talking and processing. They could just look at me and pass the Kleenex. And that was what support looks like at that time. Also, with my daughter, I had a situation where she was mentally ill. She had was bipolar. She was announcing almost daily that she was going to kill herself. And let me tell you, that was the bigger issue. I was going through all of these at the same time. We had a psychologist or a psychiatrist that she was working with who wanted to see her, well, much more than just the once a month that we could afford. He was suggesting twice a week. Meanwhile, I was making the only money in the household by working as a temp. And we couldn't afford more than $150 per visit. We could afford once a week, once a month, but we couldn't afford a couple times a week. So it put me in a very difficult spot, which is, and so sometimes situations, and I always encourage people to look at this because situations aren't just on one level. Her death was not a surprise to us, but it was something that I did not know how to prevent. I didn't know. Even one night, she was so hysterical that the police were called. And yet I knew they could take her away. I forgot what 70 hours or something. They can take you away for a short time, but that doesn't solve the problem. So I appreciate and I really listen to people when they have had issues in life, and everybody's had something. Believe me, by the time you get to midlife, everyone has their own challenges. But what I find is that we grow within that. I think what grew in me at that time was just an understanding that I thought I knew everything. I thought my life was just going to breeze right along, and it didn't. And I gained more understanding of the fact that this is our human life adventure, that we will have challenges. And our growth is all determined by how we handle the challenges and acknowledging them. No one expects us to be perfect, except perhaps the little voice in your own head that sometimes is not very kind. You don't need to be perfect. Just be present in your life and live it fully.
God, I can't imagine going all through that. But I do know that the most challenging parts of my journey have brought about the biggest and most significant changes. Because when you have that change in perspective, when you know what it feels like to be on both sides, and when you're just surrendering to the universe, saying like, I'll do whatever you want, like I just, you're in that place of like, oh my God, what's happening? My life is in shambles. You slowly, with resilience, are building up again, and then you learn a whole new way with a whole new perspective, and suddenly the little things that used to bother you are just like water off a duck's back. So you went through all of these things, and now, is that when you decided you wanted to help women?
I didn't decide at that time. At that time,
Okay.
I was still putting my life together. And then there was quite a gap before my house burned down. And that was just in October of 2023. And in that time, I did at least realize with all of the first issues within 1 year, that I was there. I would love to have blamed some things on my husband, my ex-husband, but I realized no. I was there the whole time. I needed to find out what was my part, and I needed to change me. You never get to change somebody else, but you can change yourself.
What a lesson that is in itself, like I think so many women can relate to dating the person, dating someone and wanting to change them, this desire to change them when really we're constantly chasing this journey to change ourselves. So it's like when you figure that out, then that's magic. But gosh, if I had it, like I need two more hands for the number of people that I thought I could change.
One of the best things that happened was I was single for 15 years after being married for 30 years. And during that time, it was my time to learn about me. First of all, I was taking a lot of classes. I was really doing a deep dive. And in dating people, because I honestly didn't know what I wanted. When you're divorced, sometimes all you know is, I don't want what I just had. But you see, that's like putting a little dot on a piece of paper and saying, well, I don't want that dot. You've got a whole world around it. That's no guidance whatsoever. In fact, the first guy I dated was, he was the not dot, let's say.
Right.
When you get clear. And that it took me a long time of saying, no, not this, no, not that, until I actually learned there was a better way, which is create the person, create the life starting inside you that you want and start moving toward it. And at that time, in fact, it's kind of a funny story. I had two guys in a row that I dated tell me that I have this terrible problem. I am too optimistic.
Oh,
I
wow.
mean, if you look at that, you're just too optimistic. So that was, and I thought, I am not a perfect person. I do have things to improve, but I will take my optimism any day over someone who feels like that is a problem.
Totally.
So I decided at that point that I had a conversation with God, and I said, look, I would love to have someone in my life, and what I'm doing is not working. So now it's up to you to put him there if that's what I'm supposed to have. Meanwhile, my mother had died. I had been helping out with her. It was time I needed to move, find a new place to live. And I said, I will find a community and create the life that I want. And if I'm supposed to be with someone, you're going to have to put him right in front of me. So I met a gal, and we were talking about moving down to Encinitas and sharing a condo down there. And I drove across town because I was meeting her and we were going to have dinner after this one event. And I saw her there and also a man that I had met at numerous different classes and not thought much about because he'd always kind of flirt with me and then disappear. So I didn't think anything much of it. And so my friend came up and she said, "You know, my plans have changed. And I'm sorry, but I won't be able to have dinner with you tonight. We'll have to talk about this in a different time." Now, Paul was standing right there listening to this, and he said, "Would you like to have dinner with me?" I thought, "Well, sure, I'd plan to have dinner. I'll go have dinner with him." That dinner with him, well, I won't give you the whole story, but it was still in stages, but it eventually worked out because God put him right in front of me at that time. And so now I've been married to him.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So when I got clear, then God worked with me.
Yes, and I love that because so many people are chasing that they want a relationship for the wrong reasons, right? When really we have to learn how to love ourselves. So when you finally, I'm putting words and story in the middle of all of this, and there's so much more to it, but when you finally were clear on who you were and you were able to support yourself and love yourself, fill your own cup, that's when he was put in front of you because it was like you were ready for that moment. Before that time, you weren't ready for that moment.
Yeah. Before that time, I had learning to do. And I had learning to do about who I am and who I was then, because I believe we all recreate ourselves over and over again. So I hope I'm still improving every day. I intend that.
Beautiful. So you married your dream man, and then what?
Well, we found a beautiful place to live. We found a beautiful place to live. And another one of those amazing things, because we lived in one beautiful place in this little town called Fallbrook. And we learned on a Monday, it was during, oh, 2000, 2008, 9, 10, when housing market went nuts, and the folks there had a mortgage that was bigger than the value of the house. They came over, and we were in a special guest house, and they told us the house had just been repossessed by the bank, and we would have about 90 days to move. So I learned that on a Monday morning. On a Monday afternoon, I was visiting a client in Fallbrook who lived in a guest house that was quite beautiful with palm trees all around. And I said, "Look, I'd love to find another place like this. So would you keep your eyes open? Because I've got 90 days. So it's this is not immediate, but you know, I need more eyes helping me find what I would like." And she turned to me and she said, "How would you like to live here?" And I was like, "What?" Any rate, that all worked out.
Wow.
And we live in a beautiful place. Our guest house is it's surrounded by palm trees, which I love. I mean, palm trees, I look up and palm trees feel like angels watching over me. You know, watching them, the leaves flutter. And it turned out the owner in the main house, who was a widow, she and I has become best friends. We do readings together every morning. Things turn out better than I could have imagined. I knew what I wanted, and there's something I've always said that no matter any time in my life, I've always lived in beautiful places. It doesn't mean there were the, you know, I've always lived in multi-million dollar mansions. No, beautiful places. What makes this beautiful is all the palm trees around and nature. and I've always lived in beautiful places. And that's another thing, that the stories you tell yourself, they create your reality. And I began to
Absolutely.
realize my belief in living in beautiful places has always come true for me, and largely because I believe it.
Yeah, I literally just had this conversation with a friend of mine because I said to her, "Hey, you want to go to a meditation retreat in Bali?" And she's like, "Excuse me, where?" She's like, "No." And I was like, she's like, "Bali?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And I'm like, "What's wrong with that?" And she's like, "Maybe I'll go like to Kenora, which is like a province away, right?" Because she didn't see it. And I said, "Why can't we go there?" Like, so I just like said to her, "I believe I can go anywhere in the world. And you have this belief, this is what I want. I don't care where it is. I don't care how much it costs. I have this energy. I'm following this energy and this desire to do something, and you make it happen." But it really truly does make me sad that a lot of people aren't living their best life because of this misbelief in themselves, because of this misbelief and all of these things that they have to be a certain way and they can't follow those things. They feel guilty for going after what they want. And that's why I loved when I was talking to you, because you help women go through that.
Yeah. What I have found is that for a long time, I felt like I was somehow different, and I wasn't believing in myself. And it wasn't until actually the fire, when the night that a fire happened here, we were sitting watching The Voice, and all of a sudden smelled something that smelled electrical. Okay, that immediately alarmed me and had me stand up looking around. I couldn't find it at first. Well, shortly after, a puff of smoke came through the back, and we found it was in the workshop attached to the back of the house, and went out there, and my husband opened the door, and there was a fire about 2 feet under a cabinet. He said the word fire, and I was immediately out there. I mean,
Oh my
I had
God.
arrived with the phone in one hand, a fire extinguisher in the other. By the time the fire department got there, the flames were above the roof.
Crazy.
And once they got there, they told us to go over and just get out of the way, basically. In other words, there's nothing we could do, just leave it to the firemen. So we went over and sat and we're looking at the house, and my husband said, "We've just lost everything." And I said, "I don't know why, but I have a sense of calm came over me." And he noticed the same. And I thought, I had no idea what that was about. And then over the next really month and a half, 2 months, I learned. It was like spirit saying, "Hey, stop what you're doing right now." And when you have a fire like that, because it took the, I mean, the frame of the house was there, but everything inside, some furniture was under the ceiling, and you really end up going through everything. It's almost like a life review. We had to list everything that we had owned for insurance. Well, imagine that, your Excel spreadsheet, and you're listing everything. The
Wow.
treasures that you've had, the junk that you've collected,
Yeah.
all of it. It makes you stop and say, what's actually important? And then living away, we for 15 months before we came back here, I really took that further and got another certification. Not that I needed another certification, but what I found was there was an easier way to, with a dream building, there's an easier way to think about your life. To understand that, the voices in our heads, the fears that come up, that we have projections all the time and they are creating our life. And also, I looked back and I said, why did I do the things that I did in my life? Yes, I had losses. I also had a time when I wanted to be on stage and I was in local musicals. And at that time, it wasn't that this was easy for me or even that I was all that talented. In fact, I was terrified. And I had to look and say, why did I do that? I was absolutely so terrified that I would go to auditions and I would freeze. I shook so much, I used to take my young children with me and have them sign me in because my hand shook so much, I couldn't sign myself in. But I could look back at my life and all these pieces and say, what makes them make sense? And everybody's, what's fascinating is everybody has their own stories of what the challenges they went up against, the things they just had to do, their special talents. And when you begin to put that together, all of a sudden for me, this made such sense. It's like I've understood fears. I've had challenges, and that gave me the opportunity to say, maybe that is exactly why I'm here. But I had to go inside to find the answer. The answer is already there, it's inside. And I began to realize that was really my passion, to have people begin to realize that it's on the inside, the true heart, your reason for being here. And many people don't find it because they don't ever look there. And there's nothing I would ever do that would make people run a different direction. I always believe that my clients, that every human being, you are your own best authority on what is right for you.
It's true. It's
How
so
to
true. We look to like doctors, and we look to, it was so silly. I asked a yoga instructor, I'm like, I'm not, my arm is really sore. Do you think I should be like practice today? He's like, no, like you know this. Your body is telling you is like something. But you know, we look to everyone else for validation when the answer really our bodies are telling us things all the time. But I think something I can relate to, and I think the audience will relate to, is that feeling of, you said when you were sitting there watching your house burn down, like you felt this, it was a calmness. It was almost like a, I don't know, a feeling of like, okay, like that's gone. It simplifies things. I get that feeling when I get a new cell phone. It's like I can start over and I can put in the contacts I want to talk to you. And then I know that's so low level of what you experienced, but I kind of get that. It's like you, everything is simplified in that moment because you have to start over. And so then you can choose a whole new world, a whole new life. I'm not saying it's easy, and I can't imagine going through that, but it's like the world, the universe is saying, like, what's important? Who do you actually need to talk to? I'm talking about the cell phone now. Who do you need to be in your phone to contact? Who's important to you? What apps do you really need? Because I've got about a 7,000 on here that I don't even know what they are. And it gives you that opportunity to sit down and do it. Because we don't take that time usually. We're also busy running around trying to be all these different people and different like actors in this movie that we call life. It's just, it can be a lot.
It can be. And yet, as you're right, I've gotten to the point now where as we're getting things for our house, it's like we were here 12 years. So I say, okay, if we haven't used it in 12 years, if it somehow came through the fire, we haven't used it in 12 years, and it's not something we absolutely need or love, get rid of it.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it makes such a difference in just being quite intentional with your life. And I find even as I've done that, I admit that I fill up my time very well. I'm still learning how to deal with, yes, pretty much every day there's 25 things I'd like to do and directions I'd like to take. Then I have to stop and say, okay, connect to spirit, take a deep breath. What's actually important today? Let's do what really leads me towards the life that I love. And it may be something in business. It may be making a phone call to someone that I know needs to hear from me. It's interesting when you start living that way, there's a peacefulness. And sometimes the things you didn't work on that day that you thought were important, they disappear anyhow. And there's a better answer. I love just the surprises that I get in life of new connections and the opportunity to say, you know, it's turning out just perfect the way it is. And I didn't even imagine it that way. I mean, the fire grounded me in a way that I couldn't have imagined. And also, many people are doing that hard work of clearing things out when everything's just fine, it's sitting on the shelf. It was actually easier when it is charred and black to say goodbye. So, in some ways, I got off easy on that clearing things out job. But you see, it takes just a smile within to see that even the biggest disaster can, it made life easy for me in some ways. I don't recommend it. That's not a good way to clear things out. I don't recommend it. But it sure worked that way.
I've got a torch right here, actually. Yeah, I'm not going to light my desk on fire. I can assure you that. Wow, crazy. That's what a story. So you're joining us for a podcast series, and as we go into episodes, we're going to talk a little bit about some key stuff. Do you have any topics that you can predict that are going to be coming up over the next few weeks?
Over the next few weeks, I know that we will talk more about resilience and also the unity of wisdom. I've discovered that it's like it doesn't matter who you talk to in personal development, coaches, spirit, it's all one thing. We may say it in different voices, and you'll need to hear it in the voice that relates to you, but it's all one thing.
Well, I'm excited to get into all that stuff. Talk to us about your books. You wrote two books, or is that one book? No, you wrote one book.
One book. Yeah.
The
The
Menopause
men.
Millionaire. Okay, tell us
Yes.
about that.
I began to realize this. I wrote is the and I do talk about my daughter and my experience then. But it wasn't until many years after I'd had a chance to kind of put it in perspective. And that was about my change at that time, which I realized was a recognition that I had things to learn. And at that time, I was a financial executive. So I wanted to bring some of that in, but not in the sense because there's so much compliance around anything. I wasn't going to have to run this through attorneys. So I do not give financial advice in there, other than, yes, pay attention to planning for retirement, understand what's risky and what's not. So I do mention that. But a lot of this is about how do you handle changing relationships? My relationship had changed over the years. And yes, I got a divorce. And again, I don't recommend that for everybody either, but I do recommend that you actually look at how you've changed and with your partner, talk that over. Talk that over because you need to develop new relationships with yourself and the people around you. And that can be wonderful with somebody that, you've grown together over the years. And if you happen like me to have found divorce, I talk about dating at midlife. mean, the last time I had dated, I had been, teenager, early 20s. And if a guy was cute and, out of college, he's got a good job, he's cute and got a good job, okay, that made him eligible. Oh, believe me, when you get into your 40s and 50s and you're talking to men, you both bring a lot of baggage with you.
Really?
Some not. It's an entirely different thing. So I tell some stories in there about things that I learned the hard way through dating. It's a good place to laugh a little bit at myself, and you may find things in there that you'll be willing to look at. And so that and money and health. And again, I'm not a health specialist, but I have found that good practices, it makes all the difference. All the difference. Just doing some very simple things, also known as eating right and exercise, but ways to work with yourself, to step into that, to adopt it, because it makes a world of difference. Because I find it interesting that I was talking to someone over the other day, and do you realize it can be quite normal for someone to finish this life adventure anywhere between, let's say, 60 and 120? Everybody's got their own date, which is why I don't ever think that you're old, because you may be a number. We all have a number attached, but old is a category you give to yourself.
Totally,
And
yeah.
you can put that one off to the extent that you're willing to keep doing the things that keep you young. Eating right, exercise, and clearing the mud out of your mind too. That helps.
Absolutely. My gosh, get rid of that stuff for sure. Where can we find you? Where do you have a coaching website? It's Life Change Navigator, correct?
Yes,
Okay, tell us
Life
about
Change
your website.
Navigator. And see, if you're seeing this, you'll probably see the lighthouse behind me, which
Yes.
that's how I see myself. And that's actually a painting that my dad painted
Oh,
that
that's beautiful.
came through the fire because it was meant to be right behind me.
Cool. So give us a little information about your website and the services that you provide.
Sure. On lifechangenavigator.com, you can go there, and I do have an abundance plan, which is, it's a simple thing that you can sign up for and give yourself a little boost every day to look at your own life, because that's really what it's all about. And it helps to have a little outside boost for you to get going and think of things a little bit differently. And you can also sign up for discovery calls. That's an opportunity for us to really go deeply into your own life and what's going on and look at what some next steps might be for you. And so, anybody who's seeing this, normally I could charge $250 for that, but just mention that you've seen it here, and that would be complimentary. But because you're going to be doing the work, which is finding you in it.
Amazing, amazing. Do you have any last minute thoughts to leave with the audience today?
I do. And that is, just take a deep breath and be in this moment and be willing to look inside. For what is a life that you would love living? And just be with that.
Well,
And that's it.
I'm so glad that you came here today. I know you were traveling for a bit and but I was really looking forward to recording with you, and I'm looking forward to the series that we're gonna produce together and to dive into more of the stuff that you're talking about, because I know so many people who want to live like that, but they just don't know how to achieve that. So thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. And to our audience, thank you for being here. Please do not forget to like and subscribe. And we will make sure to have Carol's website in linked to our show notes so you can have access to that and the amazing offers she just offered to all of our fans and listeners. So until next time, my name is Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor, and you just heard from Carol Hodges, who will be joining us for more. So stay tuned. Have a good evening, everyone.